Let's call the meeting of the Community and Regional Affairs Committee to order. Let the record reflect that it is 3:29 p.m. on Thursday, March 5th, 2015. Present today are Senators McKinnon, Senator Egan, and myself, Senator Bishop. Excused and not present today is Senator Stedman. He's at the Energy Council in Washington, D.C., and Senator Hoffman is in district on district work. So I'd like to recognize the staff today, our own Christopher Dickrell from Senate Records, and Sam Greeley is our teleconference moderator, my staff, Ms. Brittany Hutchison, and Mr. John Manley. Cell phone policy, you all know the drill. And today's meeting, we're going to hear Senate Bill 19 by Senator Coghill, and his Renewal Moss Chief of Staff will be presenting that bill for us here today. We're going to talk it's in regards to service boundary areas and road service areas. Then we're going to hear Senate Bill 43, also by Senator Coghill's office, regarding the immunity for fire department and members. We've heard that bill before, and this is our second meeting on that bill. Senate Bill 45 has been removed from the schedule per request of the bill's sponsor. So, Reneva, would you come on up and introduce yourself, and let's proceed with your presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Reneva Moss, staff to Senator Coghill. Senate Bill 19 is a piece of legislation that was requested by the Fairbanks North Star Borough to address some issues they're having with boundaries in service areas. We have presented a CS for consideration that would change the language from the original bill, which after talking to legislative legal, we decided that the language was too open and probably gave the borough more powers than the legislature would be willing to give them. We wanted to put on sideboards, so we created a CS that basically says if there is a parcel, a tax lot parcel, that is split into two service areas, that the borough assembly, by public hearing and by a vote, could consolidate that parcel into one service area, and it would have one tax bill instead of two service areas, potentially two mill rates, and two tax bills. And that's basically what the bill does now. There is, in your packet, I have given you kind of an outline of AS 2935050C, which addresses boundaries of road service areas. There are now two exceptions to having to hold elections for changing boundaries in service areas. One is subsection C3, and that is a subdivision or parcel by which the only access to that subdivision or parcel is a road maintained by an adjacent road service area. The other exclusion that can be done by the Borough Assembly without a vote is to remove a subdivision or a parcel in an existing road service area that does not rely on the use of a road maintained by a road service area for access. In other words, they're not using the roads, so they don't pay the taxes for the maintenance of it. This adds a third exception, and that is the case where a parcel is located in one or more service areas, or actually is located in two service areas, and the Borough Assembly, by a vote in a public hearing, can consolidate that parcel into one service area. As of today, there seems to be a disagreement on what C3 actually does, and I have talked to our legal attorney, and we're going to work with the Borough attorney to see if our interpretation is incorrect. If it is, we may have to tweak this a little bit before next week.
Okay. We're going to, any questions from the committee? I think we're going to hold this bill over till next week and let you work with your legal department, and we'll see, make sure we get everything according to Hoyle before we move the bill forward.
Thank you.
Would you like to move this?
Mr. Chairman, I'm wondering if you wanted the CS to be brought before the committee?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I move the CS for Senate Bill Number 1929-LS0326-W before the committee.
Thank you. Is there any public testimony? I'd like to object for purposes of discussion. Any further? No, seeing no discussion. Any public testimony online today? Okay. So public testimony is now closed, and we're going to adopt version
/W
and set this bill aside.
Thank you.
Okay. Next, we have up Senate Bill 43 by Senator Coghill's office. And I understand there is a committee substitute for this bill. And do I have a motion to adopt the CS working draft?
The folks that are online.
Okay.
Mayor, Mr. Chairman.
Yep. Brief at ease. We're back on the record, Senate Committee for Community and Regional Affairs, and Senator McKinnon, do we have a motion?
We do, Mr. Chairman. I move the CS for Senate Bill Number 43, Community and Regional Affairs, 29-LS0325-H, before the committee.
Thank you. And I'll object for discussion purposes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Jordan Schilling, staff to Senator Coghill. If you'd like, I could explain the differences between the current CS and the last version that the committee heard.
Please do.
So the first version of the bill, as we talked about last week, extends a total immunity to contract fire departments, municipal fire departments, and their members. But in discussions between Senator Coghill, your staff, Mr. Chairman, and Senator McKinnon's staff, we've suggested that there ought to be an exception to that total immunity because we don't want to protect actions of fire departments and its members that are intentionally wrong or done with extreme disregard. So in speaking with Legislative Legal Services, we decided it might be best to copy some language that's found in another statute dealing with EMS immunity, that is the immunity for 911 systems. And in that statute, they make an exception for intentional acts of misconduct and gross negligence. So in this CS, we use that language. It can be found on page 1, line 11. So the exception to the total immunity is unless the action alleges intentional misconduct or gross negligence. And we thought that that would be appropriate. The second change, it's fairly small. It's in section 2, page 2 of the bill. And it's really just a conforming section to say that the immunities found in subsection D, the exceptions made in subsection C do not apply to the immunities contained in subsection D. So really it's a difficult way of saying it's a conforming section.
Okay. Thank you. I'll remove my objection now for discussion of the bill. Senator McKinnon.
Mr. Chairman, I appreciate the incorporation of the exception. Just most firefighters, in fact, all firefighters that I know would never intentionally harm another person. They run towards a disaster, not away from it, when most of us would. But just to protect all sides of the issue, a homeowner and some possible interpretation from a homeowner that there was misconduct or gross negligence, it needed to be at least acknowledged that it's a possibility out there. So I appreciate the new version coming back for us to allow that, knowing that our firefighters would never, at least none that I know, would ever do anything intentional. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, sir. Senator Egan, comment, sir?
I signed on as a co-sponsor.
Okay. Good.
It's pure. I like it.
Thank you. Okay. Any further questions from committee? We have some folks signed up online, I believe, now at the LIO for public comment. And Mitch Flynn, Steve's Volunteer Fire Department, is up first. Mitch, if you're there, we want to state your name and affiliation for the record, and the floor is yours.
Thank you. Yeah, this is Mitch Flynn, F-L-Y-N-N, Fire Chief with the Steve's Volunteer Fire Department in Fairbanks, Alaska. And I just wanted to, again, just state the support of this. It reduces liability exposure to fire departments, its members, and ultimately the taxpayer that may end up having to pay out on a claim. It helps to reduce our insurance premiums because our exposure is reduced. And I do also want to say that I highly support the new version on the dealing with intentional misconduct or gross negligence. I think that that needs to be in there, and I think that's a good thing. So again, appreciate your support on this, and would like to see it move forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Mitch. Next up for testimony is Doug Schrage in Fairbanks UAF Fire Department. Schroge? Doug?
Yes, I'm here. Good afternoon. My name is Doug Schrage, and I would like to thank you for hearing this bill, and also thank you for the opportunity to testify. I am the fire chief at the University of Alaska Fairbanks Fire Department, and I am a current board member and past president of the Alaska Fire Chiefs Association, which represents fire and emergency service leaders throughout the state of Alaska. I join my local colleagues and those of the Alaska Fire Chiefs Association in support of this bill. The University of Alaska Fairbanks Fire Department is a student-based fire department providing fire protection to the North Star Borough on a contractual basis. And as such, we are not a municipal fire department, and we would benefit from the immunity that this bill affords. As such, like many of my colleagues on the phone, we are essentially a one-fire fire department, meaning that we are staffed and equipped to handle one incident at a time. As a workforce development program that is responsible for providing many of Alaska's municipal fire departments with experienced trained firefighters in this current fiscal environment, any concern over liability could be a factor in the future of our program. So I join my colleagues in supporting this bill. I concur strongly with Chief Flynn's testimony, and I urge your support as well. If there are questions, I'd be happy to answer them. Thank you.
Thanks, Doug. I don't see any questions from committee members, and I don't see any others that were signed up to testify. Look like they were there in Fairbanks for questions only. And if there's anybody else in Fairbanks that'd like to testify, now's the opportunity. Seeing none, public comment.
Hello, I'm in Fairbanks here. I did sign up. I guess you didn't get my name. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. What's your name?
Oh, okay. It's David Niebert, N-E-B-E-R-T.
Nope.
And I'm the chair of the Fire Commission for STEES, and I've been with them for about 20 years. And I'd like to take this opportunity to thank Senator Coghill and Ms. Moss for pushing this through. I think it's an excellent bill. I have a copy of the draft with an H on the end, and there is a problem with it. In Section 1, line 5 through 8 is repeated in 8 through 11. So check to see whether that has been corrected.
Okay, Mr. Niebert, how do you spell your last name? Because we didn't
N-E-B-E-R-T.
N-E-B-E-R-T.
Correct.
Okay. We're going to take a brief at ease for a minute. We're back on the record. Senator McKinnon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Our last person who testified, David Niebert, from the STEES Fire Department Board, I believe, raised the issue that we had identical sentences, which, yes, they appear to be identical, but one is the first sentence refers to an employee or a member of the fire department, and the second sentence that he's pointing to on lines 8 through 11 refer to an action against the fire department itself. So if I could, I'd like to ask a question of legal if they're online.
Susie Schutz is online.
Thank you. Ms. Schutz, if you could tell me if we should include unless the action alleges intentional misconduct or gross negligence, on line 8 after the words of a fire department.
For the record, this is Susie Schutz with Legislative Legal Services. Through the chair, Senator McKinnon, that would be a policy decision as currently drafted. There are two sentences drafted there instead of just the first sentence stating fire department as well as employee, because the intentional misconduct or gross negligence exception in the second sentence only applies to a suit against a fire department. intentional misconduct or gross negligence suit were to be desired to be permitted against an employee, that would need to be added to the first sentence.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, Senator Coghill isn't here for me to confer with, but I would imagine that that he would find that that change is appropriate if the committee would like to suggest an amendment.
Okay, we'll take a brief of these. Back on the record. Okay, Mr. Niebert, we are wanting to let you conclude with the rest of your testimony as we're working through the gross negligence part of this bill, so the floor is yours.
Okay, I see I think the wording is a bit clumsy, and that's why, it looks like the same sentence over again, but there is a distinction I see. I really do support it. Basically, it protects those who protect us, and it's nothing more than a good Samaritan type law, and it costs nothing. That's the good part. So I strongly support it, and I encourage you to make what changes you need to clean up that part, and good luck with it. Thank you.
All right. Okay, thank you. Any other folks online to testify for this bill? Public comment in Fairbanks? Seeing and hearing none, we're going to close public comment and take a brief of these. Back on the record, Jill Dolan is online with Fairbanks North Shore Borough, attorney online for questions. Jill, have you been following the conversation?
Yes, I have. Thank you, Chair.
Do you have comments?
I do. Just for the record, this is Jill Dolan from the Fairbanks North Shore Borough. I did listen to Mr. Niebert's comments, and we would suggest that you leave the immunity in, the complete immunity for employees or members of fire departments. That's an existing immunity in law for municipal employees, and this would just extend it to the contracted fire departments with the municipalities. So we wouldn't want to impact that and have personal liability on their part. Of course, if there was still an act by them, that could be imputed to the fire department, and a suit could be brought against the fire department for an act of intentional misconduct or gross negligence as it's drafted. So we would suggest that you not put that additional language at the end of line 8. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Madam Senator McKinnon.
Jill, this is Senator McKinnon. So you're telling me that if a firefighter intentionally had misconduct or has gross negligence, that they're immune right now?
They're immune from personal liability. The fire department could still be liable for their conduct. if they're in the course and scope of their employment, the fire department itself could be liable.
Got it.
Okay. Brief for these. Back on the record. Any further questions from committee members? Seeing none, do I have a motion to move the bill?
Mr. Chairman, I move the CS for Senate Bill number 43, CRA 29-LS0325/H from committee with attached zero fiscal note and individual committee recommendations.
Thank you. Is there anything else to come before the committee today? Hearing no objection, the bill moves from committee. And is there any other thing to come before the committee today? With that, I adjourn today's meeting at 4 p.m.